What? Where do these voices come from? Hi guys, this is Ryan Light with BeatAnxiety.me, your host, where we will be going over the struggles of anxiety and learning how to heal the underlying causes. Hey guys, welcome back to episode 5 of the Beat Anxiety podcast. I haven't done one of these in about a week or so, and I was trying to really get a cadence down to creating these for you guys, and I kind of lost track. So, you know, forgive me for that, and I got so much going on with not only my coaching, but I've also started a anxiety support group. So if you are in, I live in Atlanta, so if you are kind of in the Atlanta area, North Atlanta, more specifically Canton, Georgia, I'd love to have you. Just message me. I was quite shocked, to be honest with you, around the size of the group. I was expecting maybe 5 to 10 max. And my first group met last week, and I believe we had close to 20. And then this past Monday, we met again and had about 25 folks. And, you know, these types of groups always, I have a love-hate relationship with them, to be honest with you, because my ultimate goal, not only in my coaching or even you guys listening to this podcast or people that come to the group, you know, my ultimate goal is to have none of this. My ultimate goal as a coach is to not have any clients, interesting enough. My ultimate goal in the support group is to not even have a support group. And my ultimate goal with everything I do as far as my website goes and podcasts and things like that is not to do this. Why? Because everybody is not struggling with anxiety and depression. Everybody is living a quote-unquote normal life, and we're not struggling with those things on a daily basis that keep us just trapped to our emotions and tied to our thoughts. So that's my ultimate goal. But having said that, I'm excited about not only having a support group locally, but the resources that I provide on my website on beatanxiety.me and really getting into this podcast and doing this podcast. I'm still learning the tricks of the trade. So like I said, you're going to be hearing me use words like and I might pause for a second because I have to get my thoughts about what I'm saying. If you've listened to any of my other podcasts, I really talk about how I'm more comfortable in an auditorium, so to say. So like with my group, you get me in front of, you know, 20, 30, 100,000 people, and I feel a lot more comfortable than I am currently sitting in my closet, which is probably about 3x5, which is actually good for claustrophobia. So this is probably this is therapeutic for me as I do this podcast as well, because I am kind of trapped in this room. But, you know, as I learned with the podcast and doing these things, is I got to find a quiet place, and kids are running around, and wife has got calls and things like that. And so this is the most quiet place in my whole entire house. And so I figured, you know, why not practice therapeutically, right? Why not do some exposure therapy, getting me trapped in a 3x5 closet? Why I talk to no one? That makes me more uncomfortable. So you get the gist. Anyway, I really went through and wanted to get into what I wanted to talk to you guys tonight about. And I really, I typically do a Facebook Live on this. And if you guys don't know about my Facebook group, I have a Facebook anxiety coaching group where I do a live pretty much every week. It kind of ebb and flows with things that are going on, but typically at least once a week, if not at least twice a month, I try to do those lives. And I try to do those lives. I really started that Facebook page for folks that were struggling but couldn't afford my services, or maybe just wanted some extra support. And so I started that page to do that. So if you're interested, you can go to beatanxiety.me and you can look under services and you can see Facebook anxiety coaching group. So I only charge, I do have a small charge for that, because what it does is it makes you a little bit more vested in the group. And so I charge you $1 for trial and then $7 a month thereafter. Obviously, you can cancel any time. I have people come and go. I have people try it out. They don't like it. They don't, you know, and they just get off of it. So, and that's fine. So if you're interested in that, again, go out to beatanxiety.me, not com. I don't have a .com. I got .me, M-E, and go under services. And then you'll see the Facebook group. And obviously, if you need coaching one-on-one, I'm available for that as well. So anyway, let's get into the topic tonight. And I thought that I would really share with you, we have, for us that struggle with mental health issues, specifically anxiety, depression, those types of issues, we all have these voices in our head. And I believe that all of us have these little voices in our head. Little voices that either, you know, are pessimistic, or some of them are positive, right? Some of us have trained our brains to give us positive feedback rather than negative. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we are typically pessimistic, especially for us that struggle with mental health and struggle with anxiety and depression and things like that. We really look at life through these fog lenses, right? And they're kind of fogged. And so when we look through life, we interpret life and we interpret experiences that come at us negatively. And I really, this past week, as I was working with the group, I really got into this topic, which I'm going to try to describe to you. I typically write this on a whiteboard. So if it doesn't make sense, I apologize in the beginning. I'm going to try to explain it to you a little bit. Obviously, I don't have a whiteboard, but I'm going to try to explain it to you any which way. And so I call this the Pac-Man theory. And if you guys have, if you are familiar with the Pac-Man game, and for us that are over 30, probably should be, we definitely know what Pac-Man is. If you're under 30, you may not know what Pac-Man is. But Pac-Man was a game back in the 80s, I believe. Man, I was a kid. Yeah, I was back in the 80s, where you basically had this Pac-Man guy that went around and had a little maze, and you ate the little dots and had these little ghosts that came out, and they tried to get you. And if you hit a big dot, you can eat the ghost, and it kind of, then you can go through different levels and things like that. And Mrs. Pac-Man came out, and I liked Mrs. Pac-Man better than Pac-Man, mind you. But anyway, that was kind of the game. And so I really want to talk about this theory I have around the Pac-Man theory, and then how these negative voices that we have, these negative beliefs that we have, these things that we believe about ourselves, where do they typically come from? And as I went through this, it makes sense if you stop and really think about it and really internalize what I'm saying and kind of visualize what I'm talking about. It will really help you to put your mind around these negative voices. Because these negative voices, what happens is things come at us, right? Circumstances come at us. Or even for us that struggle with what we struggle with, we have these negative voices that come at us. And we believe these things, right? So we act in such a way because our lenses are fogged due to these voices that come at us. Now, where do these voices come from? And mind you, as I go through this, again, kind of, if you need to like rewind and listen to it again, it would probably make sense because I do this on a whiteboard. But let me kind of walk you through this and see if it makes sense. So basically what we have is in the Pac-Man game, you have Pac-Man that eats all the dots. Well, in this scenario, what's going to happen is, and you have the ghost, right? So you have the ghost on one side and Pac-Man on the other. The ghost in this scenario is, we're going to call the ghost the abuser. What type of abuse do people typically go through? Well, they go through verbal abuse, they go through emotional abuse, some sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, cultural abuse. And cultural abuse is kind of like a, let's say you have a guy or a girl. Let's just use a girl in this scenario. I'm not sure if you've ever watched the movie Precious, But Precious was about an African African American woman who was kind of heavy set, and she was physically abused. She was emotionally abused, and she got hit by frying pans and things thrown at her and things said to her, and those types of things. And I can picture her going to the supermarket, walking past the rack of magazines, picking up a magazine and seeing, you know, this thin white woman on the front of the page, and her saying to herself, you know, and then her looking at all of the rack that has multiple pictures of that, and her saying to herself, you know, if this is, you know, this is acceptable, then I'm not worthy, because I'm not like that. Right, I'm African American. I'm heavy. I'm not this thin woman on magazines that society sees as the portrait of how women are supposed to look, and so that's kind of cultural. And then there's one other thing that I really got into on Monday with my group, with my anxiety support group. We talked about generational. And generational, interesting enough, I believe that there's a generational abuse that goes on around, my father's father treated him a certain way. So now my father thinks, and he's dealt with that abuse, now he's going to treat me that way, right? So my father got abused by his father, and so my father is going to now abuse me based on his abuse. And so that's what I call really generational. That's that generational abuse. And again, let's kind of go through that again. So you have the ghost who's an abuser. It was verbal, emotional, sexual, spiritual, cultural, physical, and generational abuse that happens. And what happens is the ghost drops the dots, right? They drop the dots, and what are they? How does the ghost, the slash abuser, drop the dots? He or she drops the dots, or they drop the dots, by saying things like "you're fat," "you're ugly," "you're stupid," "you're just like your father, who's typically an alcoholic," or "why can't you just be like your sister? Because if you were like your sister, then you would really have your stuff together." Or maybe it's even peer around, you know, "you're a freak," or "you're a sissy," or "you're a," I remember being called a faggot. My father used to call me a little pussy faggot, is what he used to call me. And so, you know, those abusers would drop those dots. Or maybe those abusers are things that we see, like alcoholic parents, or drug addicted relatives, or environmental type of situations where, you know, like when I was a young kid, my mom used to take me to the bar with her, and she used to drink all day, and I would hang out in the bar. And then I remember being 6, 7, 8 years old, roaming around the streets of New York because my mom was drunk in some flipping bar. So that was more environmental. So the ghost, the abuser, drops these dots in our life. And what's the Pac-Man's job? The Pac-Man's job is to eat those dots. So what happens is, as the abuser drops these things in our life, we as the Pac-Man interpret those things, and we take them on, right? They become part of who we are. And interesting enough, most of our personalities or personality systems are really from 0 to 7 to adolescence. That's where we kind of learn a lot of this stuff. And what happens is we internalize that stuff. We take that stuff on. And as we take that stuff on later in life, at the heart of this, guys, at the heart of the abuser, when you equal all that out, that is trauma. So most of us work from a space of trauma. And so we get into relationships, we get into friendships, we get into work situations, we get into different type of scenarios, filtered through these fog glasses with these different things that we internalize, these beliefs of ours, right? Because It took, you know, when you hear you're a faggot for so long, or you're ugly, or you're stupid, or you're fat, or you're not worthy, or you're not worth it, or those things in which the abuser abuses us with, over time, we start to believe those things. We start to believe those things about ourselves. And what happens is these things become our beliefs. Beliefs, when we believe them, right? Because they're beliefs, we believe them, become our identity, right? So now every type of scenario we get into, like relationships, marriage, friendships, workplace, we're always looking at life and through experiences with that trauma as an underlying root, which causes us anxiety, which causes us depression. Let me give you an example of how this kind of works, how this looks. So let's take my example for a second, okay? Let's take me as an 8-year-old, and I have a stepdad that is calling me worthless, stupid, you're fat, because I was heavy as a kid, you're a faggot, you're a sissy, you'll never be nothing, you'll never amount to nothing. And let's say he was doing that for 20 minutes a week, or let's say 20 minutes every 2 weeks for 40 minutes a month. Let's say he did it for 2 years. And then, struck of luck happened, or maybe not. This didn't happen in my case, but my stepfather dies. He actually did pass away, but he passed away when I just turned 18. So I had a good 10, 11 years with him. Anyway, So I'm being abused 40 minutes a month, right? And he passes away. So most times we think, oh, shoot, you know, good, stroke of luck. He passed away. There's no more abuse. There's no more of those lies. There's no more of those things that are being said to you. There's no more of that stuff. But interesting enough, as the Pac-Man goes, those dots already live within me. Right, so I've already internalized those dots. It's not like those dots go away. Frequently enough, what happens over time is those things become more. We abuse ourselves with those things. So as they become beliefs, and then the world in which we live in, we're filtering out the world through those beliefs. So those things are happening to us. Right? I feel fat, or I feel worthless, or I feel those things because the situations at work or relationships or marriage or whatever it might be is happening, and I'm internalizing those things. The beliefs that I instilled through the abuser is now I'm abusing myself more than the abuser could, if that makes sense. And so what happens a lot of times is we stay stuck in that realm of thinking and living out through that trauma. And what happens then is we have anxiety, we have depression, we have suicidal ideations, we have worthless feelings, we have shame, we have guilt, we have all of these emotions that are a part of us, and we can't get past them because we've internalized these beliefs. And I'm going to get into my next podcast around the anxiety cycle and what I believe the anxiety cycle is and how we can get out of those anxiety cycles. But those internal beliefs that we have are the things in which we got to get healed. So a lot of us, what we do is we focus on the manifestations. So we focus on the panic attacks, the intrusive thoughts, the anxiety attacks, the just general anxiety, the social anxiety, the OCD, those type of, we focus on the manifestations, thereby neglecting the root causes. And so that's why a lot of us struggle for years. And if you're anything like me, I struggled for decades because I didn't want to go and deal with those beliefs from the abuser, because you know why? That stuff hurts. Going through that stuff hurts. And changing our perspective and changing our mindset and healing those things, those lies that we believe, going through the work and healing those things hurts. I'm on a 10-year cycle now. I'm on a 10-year journey of healing those lies about me, and I still struggle. I still have feelings of inadequacy. I still have feelings of not being worthy. I still have those things in which just come out of the blue and just make me panicky and things like that. I still struggle with those things because the lies, because we get triggered, right? We get triggered, and then those lies come right back, and it reverts us right back to those beliefs. So we have to really focus on and really get good at determining what those beliefs are, and then going through the working process of healing. Unfortunately, to be honest with you, most of you guys that listen to this podcast won't do that. It's really unfortunate. So you'd rather deal and manage with the manifestations rather than really tackle the underlying causes. And once you can heal those underlying causes, it sets you free. The anxiety and the depression and all these mental health issues, they subside. Now, granted, I just talked about it. I still struggle. But what happens with me is I change my mindset of it. I've learned to change my perspective of it. And yes, I still might get the attack, but the attack does not have the strength in which it once had on me, if that makes sense. So I really believe that those voices in our head come from these abusers in our life. Now, again, that could be family. It could be husband, unfortunately. It could be mother and dad. It could be grandparents. It could be siblings. It could be a litany of different people that are the abusers or did the abusing. The who doesn't really matter, right? The who will be worked out when you start to heal. But you have to make those steps to do what you need to do to heal. Because what happens over time is time does not heal all wounds. Doing the right thing over time equals healing. You could be doing the wrong thing over time and get worse. And I always say that if you follow me on my social medias, if you want change, you got to be the change or you'll stay the same. And sometimes even get worse. Again, guys, hopefully this is helpful. Hopefully this made sense. If you need help, please reach out to me. You can message me on my website at beatanxiety.me. If you are looking, there's some really cool techniques and really cool modalities to really go through these things, not only discover what they are, but also heal them. I've used some really cool techniques. If you want to reach out to me to learn more about that, I'd love to introduce you to those. Again, you can find me on social channels, on Instagram, on beatanxiety.me. My website, as I already said, obviously this podcast, you can probably message me here. And like I said, if you need any help, please reach out to me, guys. It would be my pleasure to kind of walk you through this process. Thanks. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care now.